What's up, kids? This week's episode of the world-renowned Week Late Podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at In Development. Catch In Development on Blip TV, blip.tv/In Development. It's a new web series. It's premiering July 3rd. That's this Wednesday on Blip TV. In Development. Go check it out. And now for the show.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode, episode 56 to be exact, of the number one podcast in the universe, the world-renowned A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren. I'm your host, a.k.a. Analysis, and the number is 489. Why do I say that, you may ask? It's my gamer tag for all you Xbox Live folks out there. I will be getting back on. I have not been on in a while. For the new listeners, welcome. For the returning listeners, thank you for listening. Welcome back. I guess the thank yous are for everybody. The welcome back is for you get it. Today's movie, I'm just going to get right to it. But there's a disclaimer. I am flying solo on this one. I vowed never to do another episode by myself, but sometimes schedules conflict, schedules, as it were, conflict, and this is what happens. The outcome is me doing a show by myself. The other alternative is nobody gets anything for free. For the week, unless you go to other podcasts that are also free. I guess I'll get that to that in the TV portion. Anyway, this week's episode is Side Effects. Movie came out in 2013. For the new listeners, I'll get into what I expect from said movie before watching the movie, and in the second part of this podcast, you'll get my reviews and spoilers. This whole podcast is based around the idea that although I would love to, and I used to love going to the movies when they first came out in theaters, it was sort of an event, a ritual amongst friends, if you will. If you won't, I now watch movies like any other person who's broke and or too lazy to make it to the theater on time. And I got tired of hearing podcasts that spoil the movie before the movie even comes out or you get a chance to watch it. So in the second portion, right before I go into the spoilers, you'll get a countdown. If you don't want to go see the movie with me, then fair warning. Spoilers after the countdown, which I still haven't made a sound effect for, by the way. I don't want this to be one of those podcasts where there's like a soundboard on standby. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not that kind of a podcast. Other people pull it off, and other people already do that well, so let them do it. I'm looking at you, the Todd Glass Show on the Nerdist Network, not sponsored by them by any stretch. However, this podcast, or rather the @FenPromos Twitter, has been mentioned on the world-famous Todd Glass Show. That is not a lie. I'm not making that up. Have to remember which episodes they were. It was towards the middle of the first season of this podcast. But that is a true story. @FenPromos Twitter has been mentioned by people on Todd Glass show. It was the whole shushing bit that they did. That was me. Sent Todd Glass an apology email because apparently it became like a complex for him. He doesn't do it anymore. And I think it bothered him so much that it became a thing. And I sent him an email apologizing because I didn't want to be that guy. Apparently I'm that guy because he never wrote me back. But I still listen to his show. It's great. Todd Glass Show on the Nerdist Network. Go check it out. Anywho, this movie that I'm deciding to watch kind of out of nowhere has been on my radar for a little bit. It's called Side Effects. It was released in 2013, so still fairly new as far as movies go. I'm getting most of this information from IMDb. Not sponsored by them either, just saying. I used to be too lazy to even get on the computer and look some stuff up, but as I continue in the conversation by myself, it's really easy to pick up on something online and talk about it. This movie stars Rooney Mara, Channing Tatum, Jude Law, who else? Catherine Zeta-Jones. I'm not too excited about Channing Tatum, to be honest with you. But before I can start complaining about him, the description reads thusly. A young woman's world unravels when a drug prescribed by her psychiatrist has unexpected side effects. Wow. I hope the movie is better than the description of the movie, or they use the name of the movie in the description of the movie. I'm not too excited about Channing Tatum. And while he's in everything, everywhere these days, matter of fact, White House Down is in the movie theaters as we speak. This is going to be a late release, but hopefully I'll get this episode out before midnight. Yeah. So, besides Channing Tatum, I'm a huge Jude Law fan. I liked Catherine Zeta-Jones in, I believe the movie was called Monsters. I might be completely wrong about that. But it is directed by Steven Soderbergh, which sounds familiar, and I'll kick myself in the butt for not knowing what else he's done recently. Ocean's 11, there you go. Traffic, loved it, which kind of explains Catherine Zeta-Jones' appearance. I was just speaking with my cousin about this earlier today, that a lot of about the Lone Ranger trailer, how Johnny Depp seems to have a career now that spans the work of two directors, Tim Burton and Jerry Bruckheimer, which isn't a bad thing, but when directors like the people they work with, they request them for the movies that they're doing. Just makes sense. So Catherine Zeta-Jones obviously makes sense. Pretty much he's done all the Ocean's movies, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how many there are, but it's listing three here. I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for that, but as of this day, I still have yet to watch the entire Ocean's 11 series. I'm a big fan. I'm not sure why that hasn't happened. Got to put time aside for what ends up becoming a trilogy. I think they're doing a fourth or a fifth one, whatever's out right now. Another female that's in this movie that I'm not completely familiar with is one of the lead characters looks like maybe a love interest of Channing Tatum. I want to say Marin Ireland. Not sure. I'll probably get back to that in the second portion. The trailer for this was kind of interesting. Basically, as the description reads, this young woman experiences confusion. I believe somebody gets killed. Not too sure. As you can see, maybe we'll do one of these.
I loved everything about him. His hands, the way he smelled. He swept me out of my sheets.
So what happened?
To a lot of people, you can say insider trading. It may as well be murder.
Let's get out of here before they change their mind. I'm going to put you on some medication. We'll get you through this.
She looks amazing.
She's doing well.
Maybe 6 months.
We'll find something else. I can get us back to where we were. I promise. I can make that happen.
I really.
You're feeling better.
Yeah, much better.
911, what's your emergency?
I need help. What's been
murdered? No sign of forced entry. Nobody else on the building security camera that made the 911 call herself.
Where's her lawyer?
She doesn't have one. Just kept talking about you.
Harriet,
you know
who you're
treating at Lee
Taylor?
I'm Thelma 4 years ago. I'll be happy to see you have a different kind of experience.
Ma'am, what is going on?
Somebody else did it. And made it look like me.
He's gonna follow you around forever. You think so? It's her idea.
Whoever makes this choice, going for it.
Either she's a murderer or she's a victim.
You knew everything about a book, sir.
My friend, I want you to cash in because of what happened.
How'd you know that?
Everyone knows. Everyone knows everything, John.
Please prove everything.
Destroy that before it destroys you.
There you have it. Instead of me talking about it, you listen to the trailer. That's the first time I've ever done that. I'll tell you why I don't do it, and maybe won't do it again or that often, is because there's yet another podcast out there that does that. It's a podcast with Paul Scheer. He is from the League. If you guys don't watch that, you should. He has a podcast called How Did This Get Made, where they review terrible movies on purpose. It's actually really funny. I do not review bad movies on purpose. Sometimes the movies I review are just bad. That being said, something I learned in the trailer is that this movie comes from the creators of Contagion, which I thoroughly enjoyed, also with Jude Law. So that goes back with the whole theme of if somebody likes working with you, they'll probably have you back. The whole Channing Tatum thing, I don't know why he gets on my nerves. I don't know. He's not a bad actor. He looks like he's doing a good job in this movie. Incidentally, I don't let the ratings usually have an influence on my rating. This movie has a 7.2 on IMDb. Not sure what that'll mean for me. I'm going middle to high expectations on this one. I don't want to really try to put my expectations too high. Looks really good. Trailer looks great on a second pass-over. The writer is famous for The Bourne Ultimatum and The Informant, also Contagion. I hope I like this movie as much as I like those. But there you have it. If you haven't seen Side Effects, go check it out. I'm about to watch it, and I'll see you for the second portion of episode 56, Week Late Podcast for Side Effects. I don't think I mentioned in the first portion that this movie's rated R. If you're wondering why, very little what most people would consider bad language. But there was girl on girl, surprisingly. And also, I believe we have a brief nudity scene with the star. The Rooney Mara, I believe her name is. She looked very familiar to me in this movie, and I couldn't figure out what I had recently seen her in. She was in The Social Network, I believe, as one of the lawyers, and The Girl in the Dragon Tattoo, which I have not seen. I believe she was in the American version with Daniel Craig. So there's that. This movie ran, let me see, 106 minutes. So simple math would tell you what? 60 minutes is an hour. That's an hour 46. Is that right? Something like that. All right. Now, before I get into the spoilers, I do want to get my rating out there because you can't really talk about this movie without spoiling it. So I'm going to get right into that. The writing, first of all, was done very well. If you are not a fan of movies with a lot of dialogue, this is one of those movies. It's very slow-paced. There's zero action in it. I thought it would be more along the lines of a thriller, but this is kind of a genre, I don't know, I don't want to say all its own, but it's definitely a drama, and it's kind of a crime drama. IMDb listed as a crime, drama, and thriller. I would not list it as a thriller at all. This movie was not thrilling in the least bit. It was not edge of your seat. I could see how some people might consider it a thriller, but thrillers are something just that. They thrill you. This was not that. If I had not taken a long nap before this movie, I'd probably be asleep by now. Not that the movie's boring. I found it quite interesting. But the dialogue, there's a lot of stuff to pay attention to. I also wouldn't describe it as a crime either because, I don't know, I guess I have to mention my my rating and do the spoilers because that's the only way I can really talk about it. So, that being said, it was directed well, very well written, lots of dialogue. I would have to agree with the internet in that this movie probably gets like a 7.5 for me. Nothing's really wrong with this movie, but it's not, in that definition, it should be perfect, but it really isn't. And I'll tell you why in the spoilers. After this, I guess I'm going to put some kind of spoiler countdown sound effect in here. We were supposed to have that in the last episode, but something that we looked over while I was on my trip to Orlando. We were supposed to do that, but we didn't. And that's it. That's the spoiler countdown. So from here on out, pause it. Go watch it. If any of that is enticing to you at all, but if you don't care, continue listening because I'm about to spoil the crap out of it. At the beginning, in part one of this episode, I mentioned that I was not a big Channing Tatum fan. About 5 minutes into it, I really wanted to give him a chance to wow me. Like I said, I don't have really any problems with him. I guess I'm just tired of seeing his face everywhere. Like, he's in every single movie. you can't really get away from him. And I don't know if that's going to be good for his career or not. He seems to be saying yes to everything, and I don't know if that means that the public's going to get tired of him, or if he's saying yes because he's that in demand. The public wants to see him that much. Not this guy, but, you know, you might feel differently. If you do, hit me up, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @aweeklate. My personal is @analysis, and the number is 489. Let me know what you think about that, because even though I wanted to give him a second chance, the director, or the story, rather, did not allow for much time. About 20 minutes in, he dies. Like I said, spoilers, so if you haven't stopped listening and you don't want any more, that's probably the biggest one there is, besides the fact that I'm going to talk about the end. Movie had two or three kind of twists to it, but they weren't like holy shit moments. They kind of happen, and I'm like, okay, I could see that. Believable. Although the second twist did make me feel a little bit better about how the movie ended. The quote-unquote good guy wins, if there is such a thing in this movie. Jude Law was that kind of good guy, but he wasn't without fault either. Everybody in this movie had something wrong with them, as I'm sure a movie about prescription drugs and pharmaceuticals in this country. I think this is a, I don't want to say ploy, this is a director's way, this is the cast and crew's way, this is the writer's way of shining a light on something that I've often felt is an issue in this country of ours. Big pharmaceutical companies making money off of people's illnesses, and sometimes not so much. The one twist that was interesting to me happens at the very end, where the main character, Rooney Mara, I believe her character's name was Emily Taylor. She's the central focus of this entire movie, although at the very beginning it seems as though Channing Tatum's character, Martin Taylor, plays her husband. You think for a while that it's going to be about him, and for the most part it is, because the case in this movie, the murder case, involves his death, which, as the story progresses, we find out that he goes to jail. He goes to prison for some insider trading. He is released from prison and tries to get his life back in order with his wife. As the story moves on, we realize that the attention shifts more from his storyline to hers, in that there's a bit of mental illness in her history. And as the story keeps moving forward, layers of this mental illness keep popping up in the history. She meets Jude Law's character, Dr. Banks, which I'm just now realizing the irony of his name, because he chooses to become a pharmaceutical consultant to a company that's trying out new drugs, which he then prescribes to his new patient, Ms. Taylor. Enter Catherine Zeta-Jones as sort of a accidental introduction to Jude Law's character. Long story short, of course, if you watch the movie, you know what happens. But fast forward to Catherine Zeta-Jones being a purposeful introduction to Dr. Banks on purpose, pre-planned. The whole movie unravels to where Mrs. Taylor and Catherine Zeta-Jones are the said girl-on-girl action. They are apparently a couple who, in many respects, create a long con to put one over on Dr. Banks through her faking the fact that she has been mentally ill this entire time, just to put one over on doctors, the pharmaceutical companies. Apparently, she murders her husband on purpose to prove that the drug made her do it. Quite geniusly, there's no sort of insurance scam, which I found quite interesting. Normally, it's like this huge insurance thing, and, you know, the wife kills the husband because of an insurance policy that they put out, $1 million maybe. None of that happens in this movie, which I found quite refreshing. Completely different kind of scandal being put over. I'm almost 100% positive that this happens on a daily basis in the United States. Whether I'm looking too much into it, as my Twitter handle suggests, I tend to overanalyze these kinds of movies because I don't know if the message behind the movie that the director wants to portray or the storyteller wants to portray is that of the pharmaceutical companies having way too large of a hold on the American population as a whole. Like, it's actually, as this podcast is about pop culture, I believe Weezer has a song called "We Are All on Drugs." It's not a newsflash of any sort that I talk about this, but it just seems that every once in a while something comes up in the news surrounding some of these things, and I think they deserve a little bit more scrutiny because I believe that stuff like this happens. And that's why people make movies about it. But again, if I'm overthinking, I digress. Bottom line is, it's a movie about a long con surrounding an uncharted territory as far as con movies are concerned. And it wasn't really apparent until probably the last act of the movie, which is stupid to say. For some reason, this wasn't one of those movies that I went into wanting to figure out what was going on. I kind of just shut my brain off and let myself think about what was being presented. That's why I wouldn't call it a crime movie, because the crime isn't necessarily apparent until the end of the movie. This isn't one of those movies that they shine, they give you clues as to what's going to happen. You really can't figure out. I suppose you can. There's always this thought in the back of your mind that the main character is guilty or did it in a crime drama, but this wasn't something. It was very apparent at the beginning of the movie when Channing Tatum gets stabbed to death by his wife, that a crime movie denotes that there is a mystery to be solved. There was no mystery, at least not the way the director presented it. It wasn't a whodunit in terms of who killed Channing Tatum. We know who did that. That wasn't the one thing that was being presented as the mystery, as the crime. I guess it would be considered a crime movie because there is a crime happening. It's just not apparent until they tell you what the crime is, and the whodunit involves not who murdered somebody else, but there really is no way of knowing what is actually going on until the narrative lets you know. So to find out who did it or the mystery being solved, I don't think was a point in this movie. It wasn't something that I went into wanting to figure out because it wasn't a crime or a mystery or a thriller to me. But not to say that I didn't enjoy it. It was very well done, very slow paced though. If you're watching with a significant other, make sure you're not tired because you'll probably fall asleep in this movie. Again, not because it's boring. I found it very interesting. But I think that if you're tired going into this, you would definitely fall asleep, especially for the length. I mean, it's not really that long, hour 40, 46, you know, whatever. I wish, I guess, the reason why it didn't get a perfect score for me is because for a little bit, there's this back and forth between Jude Law and Catherine Zeta-Jones, this game of he said, she said, of blocking Catherine Zeta-Jones from talking to Rooney Mara's character kind of didn't make sense to me. There was a little bit of confusion there, as I'm sure there was supposed to be, but I don't think it was played properly. In real life, if this would have happened for someone that clever to put a long con together, I don't think she would have been swayed by what Dr. Banks said his patient said. She would have gone and double-checked what her patient said to begin with. At one point, they were both seeing the patient. It was a little confusing. I don't know. And I know that was kind of intended. Maybe it wasn't. But for the most part, I guess that's what threw me off. Not like there were loopholes or anything, but some of the storyline, some of the exposition probably could have happened a little bit faster, but it would have only taken probably like 5 to 10 minutes out of the movie. I don't know. What do you think? Like I said, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought about that. We're on facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. The conversation there is mostly one-sided, so help me out in that. Give me your feedback. I'd like to know what you think about my review. Do you think it's BS? I'm kind of glad that Channing Tatum wasn't in the whole movie. It's weird that I complained about it. He was only in it for 20 minutes, literally. Didn't have a lot of dialogue. I think, to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know why he was in this movie. It could have been anybody. But maybe just to put asses in the seat. I think Jude Law is quite capable of doing that by himself. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. As is Catherine Zeta-Jones. I like most of the stuff that she's in. I would be lying if I said I was a big fan of Rooney Mara, but I'm not a big fan of her name. I don't like saying it. But, you know, there's that. I was kind of surprised by the fact that they killed Channing Tatum. I'm like, wow, women that paid money to see him are going to be pissed because they don't see any of him at all. He's literally only in this movie for about 20 minutes, which is weird because I was open-minded enough to give him a chance, and they killed him. So, you know, maybe he should deserve an extra point for that. Moving on, I suppose. I don't know if I could talk about that really any more than I already have. I wish this movie had more oomph, maybe. I wish the twists were a little bit more surprising. The trailer, I think, gave it a little bit more edge than it actually had. But again, I wasn't really watching this movie to sort of figure it out. The events just sort of take place, and it's not really a thinking man's movie in terms of solving a crime, but more of a, oh, that happened, and that was cool. There's that. So, go watch, don't take my word for it, go watch Side Effects. gets 7.5 from me, which I didn't even explain to the new listeners. A rating of 0 through 11 is the scale. 7.5, take it for what you will. 0 being the worst, 11 being the absolute best. There's that. Before I wrap things up, I do want to talk a little bit about some other movies that I've watched recently. I just recently, the other day, posted on, I believe it's GetGlue. Follow at FenPromos on GetGlue. Really cool service if you guys don't know. If you watch TV a lot, as I do, and watch movies a lot, you can check in to different shows just like you would Foursquare. I don't know if you don't know what Foursquare is, Google it. It's a check-in location app. Kind of the same thing with GetGlue. You check in to movies and TV shows, and if you watch a show or check in a certain amount of times, they physically send you stickers through the mail, snail mail. I don't know why they don't send you like a PDF of just those stickers, but I suppose that's the whole thing. GetGlue is a way that you check in to stuff to get stickers for said TV shows. I don't know. I just like stickers. It was X-Men First Class. I had recently seen a movie trailer for The Wolverine that's coming out very soon. And I believe Hugh Jackman was quoted as saying it's going to be his last X-Men movie playing the role of Wolverine, which he does so as a cameo in X-Men First Class. Also cameoed in the movie is Rebecca Romijn, parentheses Stamos, used to be, and she played the original Mystique. I did not know that Jennifer Lawrence played Mystique. I wasn't aware, and if I was aware, I forgot. Also, a huge, huge nod to Kevin Bacon being in that movie. I wasn't really aware of what actual character he was playing or where he originated from in the comics. Maybe it was just lost on me. But I liked it nonetheless. Apparently, Magneto inherits his helmet from Kevin Bacon's character to block the telekinesis of any mutant that may be around, to stop him from mind control, something like that. But I know it's been a long time since that movie came out. Just got around to watching it. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't see a lot of issue with it. I believe the storyline was written by Bryan Singer, but it was not directed by him, which makes a lot of sense because I think Bryan Singer wrote and directed the first two X-Men's. He was absent from the third one, which is why a lot of people didn't like it. His involvement with the fourth one was as a writer, not necessarily a director, I believe. I could look that up. I have the internet right in front of me, but I'm not going to do that. That movie, I think that gets like probably an 8 from me, if anybody cares. So go check out X-Men First Class if you haven't done so. The new one, like I said, is The Wolverine coming out, I believe, in July, middle of July. And the new X-Men, Days of Future Past, I believe, is coming out next summer, 2014. So look out for that. As far as the X-Men movies are concerned, I think X-Men First Class is ranked up there with the first two for me. I really enjoyed the first two. The last one wasn't bad either. X-Men, the third one, I can't remember what its sort of subtitle was, but was not the best one, but it wasn't terrible. I would watch it again if it was on TV. Another movie that I saw recently was, I can't remember. I'm going to cut that part out. Anyway, on to TV, I believe. Unless this other movie comes back, I don't want to I don't want to sit here with dead air for too long. Even though I could just cut it out, I don't know why I just said that. I don't like to edit shit, so that's why. I'm too lazy. TV shows. I have been religiously watching 30 Rock. I'm kind of starting to get tired of it. I'm in what I believe is the fifth season. I love seasons 1 through 4. At the end of the fourth season, I believe, Matt Damon was introduced. I was really excited about that. I'm a huge Matt Damon fan. But he's mentioned a lot in the fifth season. He may have been off doing the Bourne movies at that time period. I'm not really sure. But it's funny when they talk about pop culture, because it's, even though it only happened a few years ago, it's still kind of dated. Like, oh, I remember when that happened, or when I was in the news or whatever. I've invested so much time in 30 Rock that I'm just going to keep going. I think it's only 8 seasons, so I might as well just push through it. I'm hoping it gets better. I like what they do with the cameos, but the premise of the show is kind of lost on me now. There's really no point for it to keep going. Besides having Liz Lemon meet some dude, which she's dating pretty much non-existent that day in the fifth season, so I don't know what's going on with that. What I do know is that I'm also back into watching Dexter. Took me long enough, but it's very relevant because as I speak, the premiere of the last season of Dexter, season 8, is airing on Showtime. One of my favorite shows of all time, Dexter. Every season is great. I have no complaints. If I have to give that show a rating, it would be an 110. I love everything about the show. The cliffhangers, the characters, the dark comedy, everything's just, I love it. It's perfect. It's like when people say guilty pleasure, sometimes you watch Dexter and the things that are happening are so deep and dark. You can't really believe that they made a TV show out of it, and you almost feel guilty for liking it because you really shouldn't. But I think that's the whole attraction that Dexter offers. I love the show. I can't wait to get caught up. Right now, I have just finished the fifth season of Dexter. Every season of Dexter usually has a guest star. John Lithgow's been on it, countless amount of people. I love David Zayas. Shout out to him. He's actually, he's never going to listen to this anyway. He actually visits a local establishment that shall remain nameless, just in case there's somebody listening to my show that's a stalker of his. But like I said, all the characters are great. In this season, season 5, we had, speaking of Bourne, Julia Stiles? Is that her name? She's been in the Bourne movies. She's been in some Save the Last Dance. I don't know why that came into my head as the one thing that I would remember her from. I believe she was also in a modern retelling of Othello from William Shakespeare, I believe, that movie is about. If not, I'm full of shit. I just made that up. No, that's probably a thing. But I am finished with season 5. There wasn't, for once, and Johnny Lee Miller as well. Love him. He is, if somebody is familiar with that, he's actually doing real well now with the American version of Sherlock. I think that's what it's called. Lucy Liu is in that as well. It's on CBS. But he is from one of my favorite movies, Hackers. And also, if I'm not mistaken, he was in SLC Punk. Maybe I missed that. Maybe that's not true at all. Johnny Lee Miller, he's been in a lot of stuff, but he played a great character in Dexter, this sort of motivational speaker. I don't want to spoil it because we're supposed to do an entire episode on Dexter like we did for The Walking Dead. And by we, I mean me and hopefully some other people. If you're listening and you're in the local Tampa Bay area, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. I am not beyond putting listeners on this show as guests. It's happened before. A lot of people don't like it when I'm by myself. I mentioned that earlier. If not, shut it off. I don't know why you waited 45 minutes to shut me off if you don't like listening to me by myself. There are plenty of episodes that I have guests on. I'm funnier when there are other people around as well. Not that funny by myself. It's really really just a straight shot, people. I don't know what you expect for free. There's a donate button on the website. So feel guilty about it. He plays a sort of witness, a motivational speaker that motivates other people to kill for him while having this whole huge sort of Tony Robbins persona. I love that it's filmed in Miami. I used to go down to Miami on a regular basis for both business and pleasure. I kind of miss Miami, but I stayed there for a week, and that was long enough. I don't like living in Miami, although it's strange because New York is kind of a bigger city, and I don't mind New York at all. But Miami, there's just something about it. Great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. I don't know why I'm ranting about Miami, other than the fact that Dexter's filmed there. Season 8 of Dexter is starting tonight. If you've been putting off Dexter, do yourself a favor. I don't think you can catch it on Netflix because it's a show on Showtime. But if you're into pirating some shit, BitTorrent the crap out of it, we don't condone that. I'm sure you can go buy a box set or rent it from some kind of service out there. Do yourself a favor, watch it in order religiously. I like binge watching. I wait until the season is entirely finished for me to go back and watch it back to back to back to back to back. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that for the final season. I want to be up to speed. I have two more seasons to watch before I do so. So I may not have a choice on the matter. By the time I'm done catching up to the end of the seventh season, even though I'm starting the sixth season tonight, we'll see how fast I can get caught up. But I don't want to do it a disservice by speeding through it. Pay attention to it. Great storyline, great characters, great writing. Probably some of the biggest twists in TV history that I've ever been witness to. And I watch a lot of TV, so that's saying a lot. So go check out Dexter. I love it. You're going to love it. It's great. What else for TV? I think that's it. I think I'm done talking. As far as the video games are concerned, I have done a gaming sin and allowed my Xbox Live to expire. Not because, well, A, I'm broke. We all know that. But even if I did have money, I just haven't had the time to play games. It's something you really have to put aside. And I know we did an entire show we did a mini show kind of on Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed. We are going to get those done. I know I keep saying that, but video games require a lot of time. And like I said, scheduling is difficult. Everybody's got their own things going on. But we'll see if I can't get some people to come back and talk about Walking Dead, Dexter, Mass Effect, and Assassin's Creed also is coming. So check out that stuff in the future. We are up and running on SoundCloud. .com/aweeklate. Aweeklate.com, Facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast, @aweeklate on Twitter, @analysis49. Also, as far as music is concerned, a lot of big things going on. You can check out the music side of the things over at the music blog. Twitter for that is @FenPromos. It is 489. The number is 489entertainment.com. That'll get you to all of our free music. I want to thank once again Aaron Bond for the music that you've been listening to throughout this episode. Also to Angry for letting us showcase her music on a monthly basis. Thank you for all the tunes. Thank you for the mixes. Thank you for Brian. Thank you to Brian Stout. Thank you to Cubic and Breakdown for supplying us with tunes all the time. Shout out to Colorado DJ Deuce Wild for the music, for the tunes. I can't thank you guys enough for supporting us as far as the music is concerned. Go check out 489entertainment.com. They support us. You should support them by at least downloading some free tunes. And if you feel guilty for all the free stuff we're giving away, there is a PayPal button on aweeklate.com and 49entertainment.com so you can donate to us. We do all of this out of the love of music, movies, pop culture. But it does take time and money and effort for us to do so. So even though it's out there for free, it's not necessarily free for us. So if you'd like, you can donate, and in the notes, put down who you like it, what you downloaded, what you think about it. Once you click on the PayPal button, I'm sure you guys know how the internet works, figure it out. If not, give me a shout out. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. I'm hoping this episode was not necessarily too funny. I didn't really want it to be. Side Effects was more of a serious movie. But that being said, thank you, everybody that puts the effort in. Thank you for the new listeners for checking this episode out. We have over 70 episodes available also on iTunes for free. Everywhere it's free. We don't charge for anything. So support them because they support us. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your enemies. If you think this podcast sucks, let them listen to it instead of you. All right? Throw me a bone. Do something. All right. Take it easy. And damn, I thought we had a new outro, like phrase, slogan. But we will see you a week ago. Cheers. This week's episode of the world-renowned A Week Late podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at In Development. Catch In Development on Blip TV, blip.tv/In Development. It's a new web series. It's premiering July 3rd. That's this Wednesday on Blip TV, In Development. Go check it out.
Despite having considered myself a monster for as long as I can remember, it still comes as a shock when I'm confronted with the depth of evil that exists.